It is now time for Theoretical Tea and Company with Professor Janice Collins. So please, sit right back and enjoy a sip of knowledge right here on HitMix 88.9 WEIU, here for you.
Good afternoon and welcome to Theoretical Tea and Company. So glad you all could join us today. I'm really excited about today. It's a wonderful, wonderful day where I'm kicking off the premiere of a special show that I had in mind, and that is called Theoretical Tea and Company for Students. This is an opportunity for students to come together and hit the mic and talk about topics that they think are interesting, exciting, controversial, or something that really needs to be addressed a little bit more, a little bit more in depth. So, without further ado, for the first time, I premiere Theoretical Tea and Company for Students with your hosts, this show, Ethan Kruger and Valerie Badillo. Enjoy. Have a great afternoon.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Collins, and thanks again for tuning in to Theoretical Tea and Company for Students. This is the first edition of the show, so we're all very excited here. And yeah, on today's show, we're going to be actually breaking away from doing something a bit different than what we're usually used to here on Theoretical Tea. Normally here on the show, we focus on, you know, being academic and kind of getting away from personal experience and personal opinions. However, today on the show, we're going to be doing just the opposite of that. We're actually going to be moving towards a bit more of the personal and, somewhat opinionated, I suppose, views, which I think is important to kind of take into account in some situations. So, the topic of today's show is bullying. Bullying is an ongoing issue today in schools, organizations, and in some cases, even families. So today on the show, we're going to be talking to some students who have experienced forms of bullying and find out how people live with bullying and some of the effects that it can have, as well as some places you can find to receive help with bullying and help move on. So we got a great panel of student guests to talk to us about their experiences today. So first, let me start off by introducing from EIU Pride, we have with us today, Nico Candida. How you doing, Nico?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Nico is a senior English major seeking a secondary certification with a Spanish minor and the president of EIU's Pride Club. Now, can I call it a club or do you guys just go by Pride?
We just go by EIU Pride.
Okay, perfect, perfect. He is here to offer us some unique insight on bullying. And once again, thank you so much for being on the show.
Again, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, EIU Pride is actually, just for the record, our campus's only registered LGBTQQAAIP student organization. Quite an alphabet soup. We represent a large number of different sexualities, different gender identities, and also a group of straight allies as well. So.
Excellent, excellent. We'll kind of go into more detail about EIU Pride in just a little bit here. But first, let me introduce our next student guest here today, and this is John Romer, a colleague here at WEIU Radio, junior communication studies major, now correct me if I'm wrong, John, with a focus in electronic media production. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
That's correct.
A member of Pi Kappa Alpha. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Offer some more unique and interesting views on bullying as well. And then finally, I have the distinct pleasure of introducing my kind of partner in crime and fellow producer of the show, also another colleague here at WEIU Radio and EIU in many classes, Miss Valerie Badillo, a senior communication studies major with a focus in broadcasting. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Yeah, it gets so confusing with all the different concentrations and majors. Very interesting. But yeah, so we've got a great show here lined up for you. And don't forget, we will be live on our Facebook page. If you have any questions or comments that you want to comment during the show, Facebook is the way to do it. And that is Theoretical Tea and Company on Facebook. So once again, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Like I said, we're all very excited to be here today and kicking off the first Theoretical Tea and Company. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in. All right, so to kind of start off the official show, we're going to talk a little bit to Nico about, let's go into a bit more detail about Pride. So you mentioned that Pride is, you gave me a big, long acronym.
Yeah, so we call it the alphabet soup of gender and sexual identities.
Okay.
It's pretty encompassing. For the purposes of this show, we'll just use an easier term, SGM, when referring to the LGBT community, as it's commonly known. SGM stands for sexual and gender minority. Which is pretty encompassing whenever talking about a group of people who get together who have perhaps different sexualities or gender identities than our mainstream. So, anyway, And also, just in case I refer to LGBT, that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, which are some of the most common identities.
Excellent, excellent. I actually did not know that. I thought it said for something completely, well, actually not completely different, but, you know, slightly different. So it's a good thing you're correcting me on that one. So when exactly does Pride meet here on campus?
Pride meets every Monday at 8 p.m. In the Charleston Mattoon Room of the Student Union.
Okay.
Well, every Monday that school's in session, I should say. And everybody is welcome to attend.
Excellent. So what exactly is kind of the purpose of Pride?
Pride does a lot of good throughout the campus and surrounding community. We, first of all, provide a safe and accepting environment for people of the SGM community, sexual and gender minority. We do a variety of social and academic programs, as well as other programs aimed at promoting diversity, education, and awareness across campus. I mean, we have a variety of events, especially in the fall. People might be familiar with the Diva Drag Show, which is always a big hit here at Eastern. It's actually one of the, I believe it's the second highest attended event on campus,
wow,
aside from graduation. Anyway, proceeds from that show usually go to a couple of charitable organizations that we give to, such as SACIS here on campus, which is Sexual Assault Counseling Information Services, or Project Lazarus, which is a place for people with AIDS to go, a home for them in New Orleans, and they provide medication and other services. Other than that, we also put on our own LGBT History Month, and we have a fair. We also do National Coming Out Day. People might have seen us out on the quad asking people to come share their secrets.
Yeah. Yes, with a microphone.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. Somehow that always falls on the same day as an open house, so we get to reach a lot of cool people.
Excellent, excellent.
Also, in the spring, I think probably our signature event is the Sex Positive Fair. We actually just concluded our Pride Week, and Sex Positive Fair is always one of the events we put on during that week. For this fair, we really like to present lots of information about sex in a positive light. We feel that too often whenever people talk about sex in the public, they're talking about the wrong kind of sex. They're talking about sex they see in the movies or in other forms of media that really isn't real sex. We want to kind of dispel a lot of myths about sex, you know, talk about things that are otherwise taboo, because really sex is a positive thing for people. And the more education you have, the better decisions you're going to be able to make. Again, these events aren't just for Pride members. They're generally put on by Pride members, but we invite the whole campus, the community, out to them. So,
excellent, excellent. So have you been at Eastern for all 4 years? Are you a transfer student? Or
I've been here for longer than I care to remember, but yeah, 4 years.
Okay, okay. We'll go 4 years. So how did you come to be involved in Pride?
Actually, I met my boyfriend, and he invited me to my very first Pride meeting 3.5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Or so. And I immediately ran for an exec board position. I'd had some leadership experience before. I thought it'd be something great to get involved with. And I've been planning events and working with people since then.
So. Cool, cool. And you think it's an overall, obviously you think it's a good experience, but definitely a positive experience for you here at Eastern?
Oh, absolutely. The people that I've met in Pride have really made such a great impact on my life. You know, just seeing people who are comfortable with themselves, even if they have like a different sexuality or gender than is mainstream. And really, the whole group as a whole just presents this image of pride in themselves. And that's such a powerful statement, I think, especially in a society, you know, that says a lot of the time that being gay isn't okay. But to see people come together like this with something they have in common and be able to do such good in the community and raise awareness about not just LGBT issues, but really human issues in general is amazing.
Very, very cool. Okay, just a quick question out of curiosity, but approximately how many members do we have here at Pride at Eastern?
We have quite a bit. We actually have a Facebook page. Just type in EIU Pride on the Facebook page, and you can see we have about 300 people in that group who actively get updates,
wow,
and knowledge about our events and stuff. I would say, you know, the number of people at our meetings varies from week to week, but generally we're around 40 who come to the meetings every week. I think people who are directly involved with the events and other stuff, probably about 75 on campus.
Okay.
So pretty large organization.
And we'll talk about this a bit more later. We'll recap. Do you guys have any upcoming events that you want to talk about, or?
We're pretty much done for the rest of the semester. things to look forward to, though, this coming fall, of course, the Diva Drag Show, and also LGBT History Month again, which usually falls in October. So.
Okay. And are you going to be around for that, or are you graduating?
I'm not graduating.
Okay.
I still have another year to go, student teaching, but I will be involved with Pride, not on the exec board. Just going to be one of the members that helps blow up balloons or something.
Okay. Hey, that's cool. That's cool. Nothing wrong with that. All right. So, you know, kind of turning a bit away from, you know, your experiences with Pride. As I understand, you have a bit of bullying experiences from earlier on in your life. Would you kind of care to elaborate on that?
Sure. No problem. Well, I've known for quite a while that I was gay. And even as, like, a young child, like, I obviously didn't know what gay was necessarily.
Right.
But things that I'd heard, you know, at my church from my parents, you know, I reflect a lot upon now. Like, for instance, my mother used to say to me, you know, all gay people should be put on an island and burned to death, which, of course, is very dramatic, very sad. At the time, I didn't really know any better, and I agreed with her.
Right.
You know, I didn't really know what gay was, just that according to her and, you know, my ministers at the church, that it was something very, very bad and wrong.
Right.
There wasn't very much representation of gay people on TV, for example. You know, the only person I can remember knowing was gay was Ellen DeGeneres, you know, whenever I was that young. But of course, you know, my parents absolutely hated her, thought she was crazy, Satan incarnate. I think a lot of people still think that, but whatever. Love you, Ellen. You're great.
Oh, yeah. There's a recent controversy with Kohl's.
And JCPenney, she became the...
JCPenney was, not Kohl's.
She became the spokesperson for JCPenney, and a group called 1 Million Moms decided to kind of make a case against her, saying that it was inappropriate to have an out lesbian be a spokesperson for a family company such as JCPenney.
You know, I watched her response to that on her show. It was hilarious.
She
was so good at that.
Yeah, she was amazing, and she made great points. Her values are the same values as a lot
exactly,
of people.
Exactly.
You know, she wants people to have nice families, be nice to each other, golden rule. Like, those are values that everybody can get behind. And
absolutely,
just because you're
absolutely.
Gay doesn't mean you don't share those values.
All right. So
obviously.
Got a little bit distracted here with Ellen DeGeneres. Anyway, continue your story.
Well, I always felt like I kind of expressed more of my feminine side, especially as a young child. I still do have different mannerisms, I guess, you know, that people who listen to me or look at me might assume that I'm gay without actually knowing me, which, first of all, is kind of a bad thing to do, just to assume that somebody's gay.
Mm-hmm.
Or to assume that somebody's straight.
Exactly.
You never know. So I'd often get made fun of, especially in junior high, by some of my peers who... you know, made fun of my high-pitched voice or the way I dressed or most often the way that I walked. Apparently, I sashayed.
Because, you know, you can definitely have direct control over how high your voice is.
Yeah.
So, anyway, go on.
Completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, and those experiences and some of the other experiences, say, in the church, for example, just hearing, like, that being gay was so wrong all the time. So wrong that, you know, the only solution was to burn gay people to death. I mean, that's really hard to deal with, especially as I grew older. These things began to make me really confused. I was a very religious child. I took my religion very seriously. I would ride my little bike there in the mornings for Sunday school super early. And so once I started to realize that I was, in fact, gay, I thought that whoever found out was going to burn me, you know, or just completely reject me. And in a lot of ways, that was the case. I was rejected by a lot of my friends, actually by my family as well. I don't think people really think a lot about how bullying happens in families. Unfortunately, whenever I was 17, I came out to my parents, and they told me that they didn't want me to live there anymore.
Really?
So
wow.
They kicked me out, and I went and I lived on my friend's couch for the rest of my high school career. Another year after that, I didn't go to college right away because couldn't afford it on my own. You know, there weren't very many resources at my school as a gay person. I felt that my faculty, the guidance counselors even, the administration, were all very homophobic. You know, they would let things slide, like hearing in the hallway somebody calling somebody else, "Oh, you're so gay," like, or "Hey, faggot," like, and not intervening or saying that that's wrong. The teachers didn't care about right. that kind of stuff. In fact, I did try to speak to my guidance counselor at one point, because I really was running out of money. I didn't really know exactly how I was going to afford to go on some school trip that we were going on. And she had just made some remarks off the wall, assuming that I was straight and that if I was anything else, according to her, things were going to get so much harder for me, and I wasn't going to have any friends. I was likely to get AIDS, different things. So not stuff that you really need to hear as somebody who's coming out and dealing right. with some of these issues.
And of course, we all know that, you know, straight people are just as likely to get AIDS as, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, kind of coming back to the thing, whole thing about, you know, gender and assuming about making assumptions of people, I mean, you know, at least as communication studies majors, you know, we kind of learn in a lot of our classes that, you know, gender is a very much a socially constructed thing, and that, yes, you know, it's not necessarily something that people are born with. So how did you end up going to Eastern?
Well, actually, very interesting story. I'm not really quite sure.
Okay.
I actually applied my senior year of high school, and then I got FAFSA form, and I had no idea how to fill it out. You need your parents' financial information, actually, to get financial aid. Well, I didn't have access to that. I couldn't talk to my parents and ask them for their financial information, so I wasn't really sure how to go about doing that. So I took a year off, and I worked and saved up my own money, and I deferred my enrollment because I did get accepted my senior year of high school. Well, I eventually ended up writing a letter to Eastern, to the admissions office, and said, here's my situation. You know, I'm not really sure how to go about, you know, working around this and getting into school, but I hope you guys can help me, and I really want to come to Eastern. And I got a very nice letter saying, you know, giving me pointers about where to go, who I need to contact, what I need to do. Everything was laid out point by point. I finished my application, filled out my FAFSA myself, and got here, and actually won a very nice scholarship from the English department for an essay that I'd written about some of my experiences, and that scholarship has really helped me stay enrolled. So,
okay, very, very cool. Now, are you still on good or bad terms with your parents, or...?
I have not spoken with them in about 6 years.
Oh, okay, well, that answers that question.
Yeah.
Okay, well, very, very cool. And, you know, as you know, as we said, you're the president of Pride, and I'm sure that Pride has a lot of resources for folks who are being bullied and need support. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. First of all, Pride is a great place to go to make friends. And I think a lot of times the coming out process, and it really is a process, it's not something that you just do once and then it's over. Mm-hmm. Something, you know, I do every day, I feel like. Some people can feel really alone, especially whenever they're coming out for the first time, or are about to tell their parents or some of their close friends. Pride is a great place to go if you want to meet other people who have gone through some of that stuff and can give you advice or just support emotionally. People who will tell you that it's okay to be gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender. Other than that, we do a lot of educational things just at our regular meetings. For instance, a couple weeks ago, we had the study abroad office come in and talk to us about safe traveling, things we need to do and be aware of if we want to go on a study abroad trip, different scholarships we can apply for. We also have a wonderful transgender informational program called Tea Time. And with this, members from Pride actually have put together a very informational, educational program where they talk about some of the issues that transgender people face today. And also how to be an ally for transgender people. Again, transgender is one of those identities that a lot of people really don't understand or are even frightened of in some ways. So the more education about it, the better, we think. Other than that, we are in contact with a lot of other organizations across campus, like SACIS, the Sexual Assault Counseling Information Services, Health Resources, University Board, lots of different places. So, I think Pride's just a great place to go if you are LGBT or an ally and want to get involved and make a difference for our community.
Okay. And I know you guys do a lot of really great informational programs that are, you know, I mean, obviously all your meetings are open to the public. But recently, I think you guys did, I think it was last week, something called the Tunnel of Oppression, which
yes.
I've heard about several times, but I've never been to. Can you explain a little bit about what that is?
We did participate in the Tunnel of Oppression. That is put on by the university's Diversity Coalition. But Pride had a couple of rooms there this year. What it is are several student organizations develop interactive displays and they construct a room in one of the residence halls based on a concept or idea. For instance, we had a transgender bathroom this year where people would go into the bathroom, the guests of the Tunnel of Oppression, and receive information about what it might be like to spend a day in the shoes of somebody who is transgender. They saw oppression take place with a skit. We had a grad student, you know, talking about what it means to be transgender, and also just providing some other information as well. One of the best rooms I thought this year was a racism room, where they talked about Trayvon Martin,
right?
And had people who went in there confront their own racism that they might not really be aware of. You know, there were four men in there with hoods on asking, "Do I look suspicious to you? Do I look suspicious?" And the way that they presented the material was wonderful, outstanding. So I forget what group they were with, but they were great. If you guys are listening, you're awesome.
And so how often is that, just once a year event? Or
it is once a year. It usually falls in March. So.
Okay. Well, just to quickly recap, Pride meets Monday nights over in the Charleston Mattoon Room of the Union.
At 8 p.m.
Okay, 8 p.m. So if you're interested, those are open to the public. And, you know, it seems like you guys are kind of done with events for this year, but have a lot of exciting things that will be happening again in the fall,
totally,
which is absolutely awesome. The club is open to everyone. And, of course, at the club, you guys are... Stop calling it a club. At Pride, you guys, of course, have, you know, lots of anti-bullying resources and just a place for people to go and feel comfortable and be amongst friends.
Exactly.
Excellent. Well, once again, Nico, thank you for coming on the show. We'll probably come back to you in just a little bit here, but right now I want to turn it over to my co-host, Valerie, who's going to talk to our other guest, John Romer, a little bit.
Yep. We have John Romer here who has had some experiences with bullying, so we just want to ask you about your personal story.
In case people, I don't know if we're on TV right now, but some people can see I've actually, I shave my head once a week. I've been losing my hair since I was about a sophomore in high school. It's got all those family genetics. Everyone in my family is kind of the same way. So, you know, when you're in high school and, you know, there's obviously bullies, and even your friends pick on you when you're in high school, you know, they just knock you down here and there. You know, I'd always get made fun of, and I learned at a very, very young age that it was going to be, you know, something that's going to keep coming back like the rest of my life. It's not something that's just gonna like go away. I know this isn't as very, you know, serious as Nico's, you know, bullying experience, but
all bullying, I think, is serious.
Yeah, every bullying, you know, situation is different. And you know, when you're young, and especially in that age as a young male, confidence is very important in your life. Confidence is huge. You know, especially when I was in high school, my father still lived out in Los Angeles where I grew up, and when you're a young male, your father is a great deal to your confidence. So it's tough growing up without that father figure every day giving you advice, and then going to high school and getting bullied all the time. It was very difficult, you know, trying to maintain that confidence. And there's times where, you know, you break down a little bit, but what I've learned is bullying is you can't show the bullies that you're breaking down, because when you show them that, you know, they're getting to you, it's just going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming at you, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So In my experience, I just learned to just, you know, have like a Kevlar chest, just to let things bounce off you right away. And it was very instrumental in growing up and me becoming a stronger person and saying, hey, you know what, this is how I am, you know, this is how I'm going to be. And, you know, I love myself. I love, you know, everything about me. I love that this is part of, like, it's kind of like a family thing with me, you know, and it's something that, you know, isn't really an issue for me anymore. So.
Yeah. All right. I also want to talk to you. You are in a fraternity here on campus.
Yes.
And so do you think you see some bullying within your fraternity, or like with fraternities in general?
Within a fraternity, it's a little different because, you know, we're all very close and very good friends. So it's different between, you know, having someone who's not a close friend picking on you. It's like having a brother or a family member pick on you. And, you know, we go back and forth. So it's a little different. But what I see mainly is other fraternities bullying other fraternities. That's a big thing. And, you know, bullying, especially with our age, you know, we're all young males with testosterone, you know, coursing through our veins, and, you know, we're all gonna pick on each other here and there. But that, I think that's the bigger issue, is students in different groups bullying other groups and thinking that, oh, we're the top group on campus, you know, we're gonna bully you, and we're gonna try to like force our dominance over you in the situation. So I think that's the bigger problem on campus.
Let me just interject really quick. You mentioned that, you know, kind of amongst the fraternity, you know, you guys kind of have, you know, probably some friendly camaraderie going around mm-hmm. that maybe to the outside world could be interpreted as bullying.
Yeah.
I mean, in your experience, and, you know, Nico, feel free to, you know, piggyback on this question as well, you know, especially with Pride and, you know, within the organization, is there really a way to tell the difference between kind of, or, and especially to tell whether or not someone is, someone else can tell the difference between, say, you know, just kind of friendly, you know, quips and whatnot, and actual bullying?
I would say sometimes that is tough. It's tough. It's a fine line between having a friend pick on you, but it's tough. Some people can cross that line, and it can get personal sometimes. Even your friends can get personal. I'm sure we've all had a friend who's not a friend anymore because they took something a little too far, and it's something that you can't really go back on. So it is a fine line. I don't know if Nico feels the same way about, you know, friends picking on one another. But it's a very fine line, and you have to basically just learn by trial and error. Hey, some things, you know, some things become sore subject after a while, and you have to stop picking on them after a while.
I agree with that. I also think, though, really, whenever you're in an organization, if you guys have a job to do, that should be the most important thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to interact with friends and stuff, and, you know, I joke around with my friends just as much as the next person. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I think everybody should be treated with mutual respect mm-hmm. and understanding, even your close friends.
Yeah.
That being said, if you think that somebody can be interpreting your actions the wrong way, you might want to reevaluate what your actions mm-hmm. are. You know, because especially in an organization or as a leader of an organization, you have to be conscious of how other people are perceiving you mm-hmm. and, you know, make sure that everybody's feeling welcome. If I went to Pride, for instance, and I saw people, like, messing around with each other, and, you know, I was having my own problems, I might not want to go back,
yeah.
for example. You know, it might be harder to feel like you're welcome there, or mm-hmm. that they're welcoming towards each other. So, I mean, I think it is kind of a problem that people don't really necessarily think about mm-hmm. all that much, but it's something that I think people should take more into consideration.
Right, right. And of course, you know, it could never hurt just to ask the person, you know, are you okay with, you know, what I'm saying
yeah,
to you? Yeah,
that's always helpful. I feel like that's one of the biggest problems with bullying. So many people are just ready to stand by and let it happen mm-hmm. without mm-hmm. even questioning it.
Right.
You know, oh, they're probably just joking with their friends. How many times did that happen to me in junior high when a teacher could have helped me out, but they just assumed that it was one of my friends picking on me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, oh, they're just friends. They're just young. You know, that's how boys play.
Right, not always the case.
Yeah, that's not always the case.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, sorry to interrupt you, Romer. You can...
Oh, no, it's okay. My huge thing with bullying is there's, you know, I feel that we need to focus more on, instead of, I not say stopping bullying, because we do need to stop bullying as much as we can, but I feel like bullying's been going on since the caveman era. I feel like bullying has been something that's in just the human body, and we can't really explain why. It's just been something that's happening since the dawn of time. And I feel like one thing we need to start doing more is helping people deal with bullying. It's sad to say that that's what we have to do. But, I mean, you're always going to have bullies in high school. And you're always going to have bullies wherever you go. Whether you're, I know people have bullies in the workforce. People have bullies all across the world. And I feel like we have to learn how to deal with bullies. Because I feel... if you're getting bullied, and there are certain ways where you can stop it by the way you react differently, the way you show the bullies that, hey, you're not affecting me, because bullies feed off of that they get when you see that you're breaking down, they see that they're affecting you. Bullies feed off of that. And I feel like if we focus more on how to cope with bullying and how to show that it's not affecting you personally, I feel like it's going to change the way bullies, you know, I feel like they're not going to bully as much. I feel like that's the step we have to start taking towards in the right direction. Instead of focusing on, you know, the whole stopping bullying, I think we need to focus on, hey, how do we solve this subject instead of just stopping it? How do we come together as a society and figure out how do we help more?
Mm-hmm. So steps to getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, you know, how can as a, you know, group of human beings, how can we be there for people who are being bullied as well?
Definitely.
You know, how can we be empathetic for folks who are, you know, getting picked on and bullied on a regular basis?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll go into, there's a lot of different types of bullying, so we kind of want to, you know, kind of go over them. And, you know, this is kind of open discussion here, so if any of you guys want to interject, you know, please do. And, you know, we'll kind of talk about, you know, a couple of different, like I said, types of bullying, and as well, you know, kind of how they're dealt with and kind of how they're experienced. So obviously, kind of the first and most, I could say, probably the most used one, you know, throughout history is kind of verbal bullying.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, name calling and things like that. And of course, you know, Nico, you said you had experience with name calling quite a bit. Romer as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Valerie, do you have any experience with that?
Actually, I did in grammar school, and my siblings right now have had a really rough time with bullying. My younger brother, he's small for his size, so he gets picked on a lot. And my younger sister, she has cerebral palsy, so she gets picked on a lot for being different. And I've noticed that with girls and boys, there's a lot of differences. With boys, you see more of the physical and the verbal, like with the name calling, you see that with boys a lot. And with girls, it's social. Like, they'll exclude someone and, you know, pick on someone by, like, oh, well, you guys can't be friends with her anymore. My sister has complained to me a lot about that kind of stuff, too. And then right now, the biggest one is cyberbullying, because a lot of kids are getting on networking sites and people are picking on them online. I know I had problems with that when I was younger. So I did some research on it, and I wrote an article about it. It's on weiu.net/OTS, and it was really my experience with my siblings and kind of getting into their shoes and seeing how they felt about everything. And they really just told me that, you know, it sucks, but they're dealing, and it's hard to deal, especially when teachers really don't do anything to stop it or to help. The teachers don't even know what's going on right behind their back. So, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the cyberbullying aspect is, you know, kind of really difficult because, I mean, you know, at least, you know, with bullying, you know, like on a schoolyard or something or in the hallways, you know, in theory, you know, a teacher could intervene with that. Whereas cyberbullying, you know, it's all done online, you know, it's kind of hard to track down.
Mm-hmm.
Does Pride have anything to do with, does anything for cyberbullying or?
During this past week, which was Pride Week, EIU Pride worked with the university board to develop videos for It Gets Better, which is a campaign that was started a couple of years ago, which involves people recording themselves, you know, sending a positive message of hope to LGBT youth. You know, saying that you're being bullied right now and things might seem really horrible, but they will get better eventually. It's a great campaign. It's a way to get involved with the community as well. Everybody's able to make it, upload it to YouTube. And we kind of find that, you know, with the It Gets Better campaign, somebody who's on the internet, maybe being cyberbullied, has a safe place to go on the internet as well.
Really?
You can go to YouTube and, you know, find something. Not everything you see on the internet is going to be negative.
Right, right.
You know, so it's a really great program.
Cool, and they can find that at on YouTube. It's just called It Gets Better.
Yeah, It Gets Better campaign. And I believe that the one that Pride made with University Board and other organizations across campus, even Student Senate, was recently posted to YouTube, so people can check that out.
Okay, excellent. So that is It Gets Better on YouTube for some of the positive aspects of the internet as well. And, you know, earlier we were talking kind of about a little bit more of organizational bullying, you know, within an organization and kind of differentiating what is bullying, you know, as opposed, you know, what is just kind of friendly, you know, camaraderie and, you know, picking on what's the difference between that and bullying. You know, I'm a Boy Scout. I've been in Scouts for, you know, since probably like, you know, first grade or something like that. And, you know, I know a couple of people, you know, in fact, one of them who, I don't want to say he's close to me, but, you know, I know him. You know, he's actually, you know, my girlfriend's brother. And he actually, you know, left scouting because of bullying, you know. So, you know, it's definitely something that can happen within a lot of different organizations. And, you know, we just want to emphasize here on the show that it's important to really try to know the difference between what is actual, you know, just kind of playing around and messing around, and what is actual bullying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and also, you know, something else that I've noticed, a recent trend, and once again, you guys can also comment this on this as well, is I feel like there's a lot of bullying within video games now.
Definitely.
Does anyone play any online games here?
Yes, I do.
I don't.
No, not at all. Okay, well,
English major, too much to write.
Yeah, too much to write. Well, I've noticed just, like, the obscenity that I hear when I'm, you know, talking to people who are, like, you know, they sound like they're young,
mm-hmm.
like on, you know, particularly Xbox Live.
Yes.
I mean, the stuff that you hear is just ridiculous.
Yeah,
I was
playing a game. I remember it was like 2 weeks ago, actually. I was playing FIFA 12, which is a soccer game online. And it was just a way for me to calm down after a tough day at school, just relax and play a video game. And I'm playing, and I'm winning, and all of a sudden I hear the guy with his microphone saying, "Oh, I'm gonna kill you." It was like getting like obscene, and it was like upset at me. And he was like trying to bully me over the video game, saying he was going to kill me and find me by my IP address and come and like visit me.
That's actually pretty mild.
Yeah, and it was. I was like, wow. I wonder if this is like what people do online now, because I don't play online that often. But I was wondering, like, is this becoming that big of an issue? And I've heard other kids say they've stopped playing video games because they try to play online and people just like berate them, and it's just not fun for them anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It's terrible. And you know, I think a really common slur that you hear over Xbox Live is, you know, words that are negative towards the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. You know, quit being an F word, you know, that's so gay. Like, and but then again, a lot of video game companies, I think, lately are showing trends of making it better for the LGBT community to be online.
Yes.
And stuff. And a lot of games, for instance, like I know Mass Effect 3, it's pretty famous right now because it has, you know, an LGBT storyline. You can get gay married and stuff in it, develop like a gay relationship. So I think, you know, the more that, you know, gay people are included in different mediums and different areas of life, you know, the better that it's going to get for them overall. People are going to think twice. So
now let me ask you a little bit of a follow-up question on that. You know, we were talking about how, you know, kind of integrating. Oh, by the way, just a quick reminder, you are tuned into Theoretical Tea and Company. We're doing a show on bullying today with our special guests, Nico Candidate and John Romer, myself, Ethan Kruger, and my co-host, Valerie Badia. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're talking about kind of showing kind of a gay image in media, particularly video games. Something that I read about Mass Effect 3, you know, and that this was allegedly written by, you know, a gay person, but, you know, obviously it's online, so, you know, you never really know. They actually said that the, you know, gay references within the game were actually almost offensive to them because they were so out there. I mean, what do you think about, you know, the portrayal of it? I mean, is there to an extent where you're portraying it as a stereotype and that's just as bad? Or, I mean,
I think often people will resort to using stereotypes in the media to present a gay person or a lesbian person or somebody who's transgender. It's pretty easy to do that, rather than actually develop them as characters, you know, give them real problems and real issues. I think, of course, that's wrong doing that. You know, you can't just simplify a whole group of people, you know. But then again, you know, some people, I guess, are like that. Some people do portray, quote-unquote, stereotypes.
Right, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's just how some people are. And I think what people need to do whenever they encounter these, you know, in media, is question it, of course, think about it, and realize, you know, how it's being presented, really. Is it being presented as, like, a joke? Is it being presented as, like, oh, this is how all gay people are? Because if those are the cases, that's probably wrong. You know, people need to reflect on that, take some time to really think about it. So.
Okay, well, let me bounce this question up off you. Do you think that a, you know, kind of negative portrayal... Okay, I shouldn't say necessarily negative, but do you think that a stereotypical portrayal is better than portrayal, I can't talk today, is better than no portrayal at all?
That's tricky. You know, I think a lot of the time people will say that, you know, any publicity is good publicity, and I think the more that that people are exposed to gay people, the better in general, and also the more they're going to realize that gay people can't just be put into a little box and they just fulfill these stereotypes and that's their whole role. I mean, there's a show on right now, Modern Family, I'm sure people are familiar with. And that show, I mean, there are gay characters, but it's not about them being gay. And I mean, they do make a lot of jokes, you know, about their sexuality or different things, but it's done in a way that you realize these are people. These are people with their own issues. They're like this. Not all gay people are like this, but they are. And so I don't know about that. I do think that, you know, it's good to have portrayal of gay people, but some people just don't really know how to do that yet. But exactly. They'll get there eventually.
Or people don't understand what's the difference between, you know, kind of a comical stereotype and as opposed to, you know.
But then again, that question can be said for a lot of other things, too, like women in the media.
Oh, most definitely.
You know, like, is it okay for them to portray all women as, like, busty blondes, you know, who are beautiful in the face? Like, well, you know, people don't really question that very much either, so it's kind of the same thing.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you could say the same thing for, you know, race, gender, sexuality, you know, what our media, you know, what's the difference between, you know, just the someone making fun or, you know, just kind of having a playful stereotype, and what's the difference between actually trying to teach people this is what this person is like.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking a little bit earlier, and, you know, when we were talking about video games, you brought up the fact that people were kind of using the term gay as a bit of a derogatory. Obviously, that does not just happen in video games. It happens in everyday life. You know, how do you feel about that?
Terrible. I wish that didn't happen, because really, whenever somebody calls something gay in a negative way, they're saying, a lot of people align it with stupid. So instead of, you know, they could replace it, oh, you're so stupid. First of all, both of those are terrible terms to call somebody else, you know,
right.
Both bullying. Mm-hmm. Second of all, being gay, it's not stupid. You know, it really makes no sense. It's kind of an absurd statement if you really reflect on it. You know, what if instead of saying that's so gay, somebody's like, that's so straight. You know, that's so heterosexual.
Yeah.
That's just weird and mm-hmm. kind of absurd, you know. That being said, I think people should intervene if they hear that kind of language. People have the power to help make it stop, help make it get better for students and other people in their lives who are LGBT, simply by saying, that's not cool. Like, why would you say that? It makes no sense.
So. Yeah, actually, one thing that I've recently started doing on video games is, you know, because, you know, particularly video games that have, you know, kind of text chat things, you know, I always get, oh, you know, you're so gay, and then I usually type out, well, what's wrong with being gay? And I usually don't get a response from that, so, you know, that at least shuts people up. And, you know, just amongst my group of friends, you know, I've gone out and, you know, and I must admit, I've kind of given up on them because, you know, every time it's like, well, you know, why are you using that as a derogatory term? And they're like, well, we don't really think that. We just, you know, we just use it. You know, we don't really have a problem with gays. But it's like,
exactly.
But it's like, what are you reinforcing?
Totally. Yeah. And it is. Every time somebody uses it negatively, they are reinforcing that being gay is a negative thing when it's not. And don't give up on that. Challenge it every time you hear it. That's my challenge to you. You know, if we keep letting it go, people are going to keep using it. And just because people are using it in a joking way doesn't make it okay.
Right.
That goes for all bullying. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody can be like, oh, well, I was just joking around whenever I pushed him, or I was just joking around whenever I called him retarded. You know, that doesn't make it okay. You're still hurting somebody's feelings, whether you know it or not. And even, I really don't think you can say that you're okay with gay people if you use gay in that way.
Right.
No, like, because you're saying that gay is stupid.
You're using it as a derogatory.
Yeah, that's not right.
One thing that, you know, as a communications person that, you know, I learn a lot is that, and I'm sure you guys have, you know, you fellow communications majors have heard this in your classes as well, is that, you know, words don't necessarily, you know, they don't necessarily directly affect our lives. However, the language that we use definitely has an influence on how we view society and how we view people. Same thing with how we see things in the media. You know, we might not, you know, we might see, say, oh, I don't know, a portrayal of, oh, I don't know, let's turn the tables around, of a straight guy who loves hunting and, you know, driving big trucks around. You know, we might see that portrayal, and then, you know, in our minds, we might know that, okay, yeah, sure, we know that not every straight guy loves hunting and, you know, playing football and stuff. However, it does, to some extent, you know, it does tell you something about the types of behaviors and things that straight guys are supposed to do. You know, it doesn't necessarily say go out and buy a truck and a gun and go kill some deer, but it definitely, you know, enforces, you know, dominant ideologies about, you know, what is straight and what's not.
It's another stereotype, I feel like.
Exactly.
You know, there's a stereotype you said for gay men in video games and in life, and there's also, I think, a stereotype for straight men. You know, straight men should all drive 4x4 pickups and, you know, go out and hunt deer and wear camouflage and, you know, go and try to find the most attractive woman possible. And that's not true. You know, there are stereotypes in all shapes and forms. And I feel like that is also, it's not as big of a problem, but I feel like it shows that stereotypes and culture are becoming a big issue, you know, rather than just per stereotype. I think it's an issue overall in stereotypes.
Yeah, people aren't realizing the difference between stereotypes and reality, and that's a big mm-hmm. problem, too. I'm actually chatting with Dr. Collins up on our Theoretical Tea and Company Facebook page, which if you are interested in commenting or have any questions about the show, feel free to log on to Theoretical Tea and Company, and you can check that out. And we've been talking, and something that she mentioned here on Facebook was, do you think that, you know, and this is basically opened up to the entire panel here, you know, do video games make people more violent. And not necessarily, when I say violent, I don't necessarily mean literal violence. Mm-hmm. You know, it could mean, once again, you know, we're talking about interacting with people on video games who, say, use the words, you know, gay as a stereotype. And another big thing about video games that, you know, really, you know, kind of bugs me and annoys me is the amount of bad feelings towards women who play video games.
Yeah.
The second someone says that, you know, on chat, you're a woman, well, all of a sudden it's like all these, you know, bad derogatory comments, you know, get out of here, you know, this is our place. But do you think that type of language, both actually, you know, written in the content of video games, as well as the actual user-generated chat stuff, do you think that that is something that should be taken out for the sake of, you know, kind of not reinforcing these negative stereotypes? I mean,
I personally don't, because I think that they also, even though they provide opportunities for people to say negative things and bully, they also provide opportunities for people to take the other track and stop somebody from bullying or to say something positive. Mm-hmm. Really, I don't think that video games cause violence. I think that a lot of our social attitudes, especially in regards to competition and always winning and being the best, number one, mm-hmm. I think that those contribute a lot to bullying. And I think video games are just kind of a catalyst for that, because a lot of it's about competition and winning. And whenever you're in that situation, you're probably more likely to be aggressive or make fun of somebody else who's losing, you know, to make yourself feel better about your status. And I think that just kind of reflects our society overall and how much we value winning and competition. Right. And a video game is just kind of, I don't know, an extension of that.
Yeah,
not a cause.
Gotcha. Valerie?
I don't think so. I agree with Nico. I think that when people sit down to play video games, like, it's either you're super aggressive already. I don't think video games has anything to do with that making you. So I think it's really people's attitudes. And like he said, win. That's how we all think. So I think there's no way to change the whole video game violent thing. I think people are just that, like too competitive.
Okay, understandable. And John?
I think it depends a lot, actually, on the video game you're playing. I feel like I know a lot of people play Call of Duty. It's a shooting game. And I feel a lot of people, the biggest thing is they become desensitized to violence. Not necessarily makes them more violent, but it makes them think, oh, I died in this game, I can just come back to life. So it makes them want to go out and say they feel a little bit more invincible. And I feel like that's the biggest problem with video games these days.
Well, when I win a ladder match, I feel invincible, too. That's actually true. Sorry, I'm kind of a nerd. But, okay, very, very interesting. You know, I would have to say that I agree with you guys as well, and that, you know, it's kind of, you know, I feel like, you know, as a radio person, I'm really big on free speech. And, you know, I think that, you know, if you were to limit these types of things in video games, you're kind of borderlining on free speech. Although I definitely think that's something that should be done with, you know, video games and really any type of media. And this is kind of something that I think should just be kind of ingrained into every human being, is that, you know, understand the difference between what is kind of being portrayed for you and what is reality. You know, and making sure you know how to separate those two things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're kind of getting near to the end of our time here for the show today. So to wrap up, I want to go through, first of all, let's talk to Nico again. EIU Pride meeting every Monday night, 8 p.m. over at the Charleston Mattoon Room.
Yep, in the student union. It's on the third floor. This is an invitation to everybody who's listening. We are very accepting. We want people to come out, support. If you disagree with us on certain things, come out, share your opinion, you know, and we will have a good discussion about it. Again, if you are interested in coming to any of our events, look for flyers on campus. And also, if you are experiencing some bullying or are coming out or having just any issues with being LGBT or SGM in general, feel free to come to a meeting or join our Facebook group. Just type in EIU Pride, and we will get you the help that you need. And also, you'll probably make a lot of really great friends.
Excellent. And you know what? One thing that I can't believe I forgot to ask this. I'm not sure the details on it, but were you at the Sex Positive Fair?
Yes, I was.
There some group protesting out there?
I'm not sure. I was pretty busy that day.
Okay.
We've had a lot of people protesting before. People, you know, call us sinners and different things for educating people, but that's okay.
Okay, I just was curious. Okay, well, thank you very much. And, you know, we'll kind of move into a bit more closing statements. Romer, do you have anything in closing?
I would just say if you're out there and you're getting bullied, you know, whether you are straight or gay or getting bullied about anything, it does get better. You know, people get older and people do mature most of the time. people mature and it gets better. And I feel like when you get older, you find your comfort zone and a place where you can go and you can get help. When you get older, you have a more defined support group. You know, you have friends that you realize aren't going to bully you, or even if they pick on you, they're still always going to be there for you no matter what, and they care about you. And as you get older, you're going to have that support group, and you're going to have people where you can always go to. So it will get better, and I feel like if you're getting bullied, just, you know, try to deal with it, and it gets better.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Valerie, anything to say in closing?
I agree with John, and I also think that people who witness bullying need to not be afraid to step up and say something and say, this is wrong, and because you contribute to it when you just stand by and watch it.
And you're talking about, of course, you know, bystanders, mm-hmm. as well as people who are actually being bullied.
Mm-hmm. If I can interject here, it's...
Absolutely.
You know, we keep saying it gets better, but it's up to all of us to help make it get better. Mm-hmm. It's not just going to get better on its own.
Right.
You know, people actually have to take action and do different things. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, in closing for me, I totally agree 100%. You know, it's definitely something that, you know, like Nico was talking about a little bit earlier, where, you know, when you're joking around with your friends and, you know, you hear someone, you know, use the term gay as a derogatory, you know, it's not going to really hurt you to, you know, just to say, you know, no, yeah, that's not really a derogatory term, you know, that's a sexual preference, you know, that's, you know, not something that you should be using as an insult. And, you know, it can get tedious, and of course, you know, chances are your friends are going to resist you a little bit, but I mean, I think in the long run, it'll be well worth it. Mm-hmm. But so little things like that, you know, can really help make the world a better place. And another, I definitely want to mention another source of help and support that you can find here on campus if you are being bullied, you know, for whatever reason, be it, you know, sexual preference, gender, you know, race, major, you know, whatever you can possibly think of, because I'm sure that there is someone. I know it's a stretch of the imagination, but, you know, I'm sure that, you know, science majors, I shouldn't say jokes about that, but I'm sure that there are some people out there who have at some point been bullied because of their choice of what they want to do with their life. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's so sad to me.
I know. It's like, why is it such
it's
a big
their
deal
life.
To you? Exactly. And well, that's the same thing with, you know, being gay or lesbian, you know, like why do you have any right to interject in whether people's lives are doing?
Let people
exactly.
live their lives.
It's somebody else's
completely.
Sexual preference. Like, it does not affect you at all.
Exactly. You know, but the EIU Counseling Department, which is open to all EIU students, is located over in the Human Services Building. They are open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. in the morning to about 4:30 p.m. They also have a phone number. You can contact them at 217-581-3413. Once again, that is 217-581-3413. They have an emergency number that you can contact, which is 217-581-3413. 3413. Oh, that's the same number. Well, there's that. I guess what the emergency number, which actually is different, so I apologize for that mix-up there. This is for any type of after-hours emergencies that you may have. 217-549-6483. Once again, for emergency after-hours, which can be on weekends or after 4:30 during the week, 217-549-6483. And there's also on their webpage, on their the Counseling Center webpage, which is on eiu.edu/counselingcenter. They also have a link to see where they're located. Like I said, they're in the Human Services Building, which is right next to Thomas and Clem Hall, if you ever want to stop by and check them out. And just once again to recap, EIU Pride will be meeting every Monday night, 8 p.m. over in the Charleston Mattoon Room. They've got a lot of resources, and most importantly, they've got a lot of friends mm-hmm. who are very accepting. But yeah, I think that, you know, just about wraps us up for the day. So once again, thank you to our guests for coming on. Nico, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
John, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your insights.
Thank you for having me.
We really appreciate it. Valerie?
Mm-hmm. We want to thank everyone for tuning in this afternoon. And we want to dedicate this show to those who have been bullied. And we hope you enjoyed our first student edition of Theoretical Tea and Company. We hope there will be many more to come after this. And tune in next time. Our next show will be April 29th.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much. Going to go right into some music here on Hitmix Radio. A little bit of Weezer with Troublemaker. Hitmix 88.9 WEIU here for you. Thank you so much again for tuning in today.